Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 349th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change for over 28 years. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today. And before going further, I'd like to thank people who came up to our table at the 3CR 50th birthday party last Saturday in Collingwood. It was really great to talk with some of our listeners face-to-face and get some feedback about what they are appreciating about the program and talking about some of the issues that we raise. And special shout out to Bill and to Liz. So today, Jacques isn't with us on the program, but we do have someone from the Human Technology Institute, Sarah Sacker, who will talk us through government moves, really alarming government moves toward automated decision making. That is, decisions affecting people being made by computers, not humans. In particular, there's an NDIS bill before Parliament that would allow decisions affecting people with disability to be made automatically, and the Human Technology Institute put in a great submission raising concerns about this, outlining some of the issues with the bill, which is why we invited Sarah Sacker to join us on Think Again. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Hi, thanks very much for having me.
So to begin with, Sarah, can you tell us a bit about the Human Technology Institute and your own role and background?
Yeah, sure. So the Human Technology Institute is based at the University of Technology, Sydney, but we're not really an academic centre. We're impact-driven and we're an independent organisation focused on ensuring that new tech is safe and fair and that our laws protect us from harms related to new technologies. So we have people from multiple disciplines working at the Institute. So we have data scientists, economists, lawyers. I myself am a senior policy specialist doing policy work. So we focus a lot on law reform related to tech and AI, and we work with regulators and civil society as well to help better enforce our laws to create some accountability around AI-related harms mostly. And my own background is in human rights law. So that's the kind of lens that I bring to technology issues. I started doing general human rights work and over time began to focus on the intersection between human rights and technology.
That's vital that we have that human rights lens on all of a lot of technology, that a lot of things are coming in below the radar that are really disempowering people in their lives. So a fantastic combination of expertise obviously brought together in the Human Technology Institute. So today we have you on the program to talk about concerns with a NDIS bill before Parliament, which would expand the role of automated decision making affecting the lives of people with disability. So the full name of the bill is quite long, and some of it sounds like it's written by the media department, but it's National Disability Insurance Scheme Amendment, Securing the NDIS for Future Generations Bill 2026. And this NDIS bill would amend the National Disability Insurance Scheme Act 2013. So it's quite momentous legislation and definitely not getting enough airing. Sarah, can you tell us what your concerns are about the NDIS bill in relation to the expanded automated decision making?
Yeah, sure. So basically what the bill does is it broadly enables automation of all kinds of NDIS decisions with very minimal safeguards. And I think it's worth saying that as a general point, automation in government can be a good thing if it's used appropriately and in the right places. But there are circumstances where automation is just not appropriate and can cause real harm to people and impact their rights. And even in cases where it is appropriate, you still need to have really strong safeguards in place to protect against errors and unfairness. And the problem with the bill is that it kind of fails on both of those fronts. What it does is it authorises the automation of decisions that shouldn't be automated because it allows for what's called discretionary and evaluative decisions to be automated. And then it also is lacking some really important safeguards around rights of review and rights to reasons, for example.
So, Sarah,
so that's kind of the core of the issue.
Yeah, so, Sarah, it's really automated decision-making over areas that would normally be subject to human judgment, human discretional judgment, yeah. And you've got concerns, I think, about automated decision-making with the expanded use of AI, which is everywhere.
Yeah, so automated decision-making can include the really simple sort of what's called rules-based systems that don't use AI, but it can also include quite sophisticated AI systems. And the real issue, I guess, coming back to the problems around discretion, maybe I can explain a little bit about why we're concerned about that particular issue. So basically the law out, we have like legal principles that recognize that certain kinds of decisions require a decision maker to use their judgment to ensure that the law is applied fairly to people, taking into account their particular circumstances. And these are the kinds of decisions that aren't, they don't have a right or wrong answer. There's always some nuance and complexity. So, for example, in the disability context, a decision maker might be considering how a person's disability impacts their lives when they're making a choice about access to supports, for example. Mm-hmm. And so automated tools, including AI, are just not, they don't do those kinds of decisions well because they can only really apply, replicate patterns in data or apply really sort of simple categories to people, which is really reductive. So they can't really consider contextual and individual factors the way that a human can. That's really the core of the issue with automating discretionary decisions. That could be contrasted with really simple decision-making tools, decision-making processes, which can be automated safely. But basically, like in the disability context, you really want to be careful around reducing human oversight over those complex kinds of decisions, considering the cohort that's affected.
Yeah, it's really like people being subject to technology that's not human. And so I understand, too, the bill allows the government to decide what sorts of decisions can be automated. Is that right?
Yeah, so ideally, you'd have, when choices are being made to automate certain kinds of decisions, ideally you'd want to see that really clearly in the legislation so that there's accountability around it. But what the bill does is it basically allows for the minister to choose categories of decisions to be automated through legislative instruments, which are much less accountable and aren't subject to public scrutiny. There's no real sort of requirements around what the minister could or could not choose to automate in that way. So it really could mean that any and all decisions in the NDIS could be automated. The whole NDIS could hypothetically, like theoretically, be automated through that process. It's just really broad powers.
So, and there's no requirement for the minister to refer to violation of human rights.
No, and that's what this bill could really be improved with some basic safeguards that would prevent automation, for example, in discretionary context, but also ensure that there are protections around automation so that, we don't end up in that scenario where we have all sorts of inappropriate automation in the NDIS.
Yeah, and safeguards, I guess, to make sure something won't go wrong, but also protect people if something does go wrong.
Yeah, and that actually brings us to another real concern with the bill is that when things go wrong, the bill actually doesn't allow for people to request what's called internal review of decisions. So what usually when a decision is made by a human that affects you, you have the right to request for a more senior person in the department to have another look at the decision and reassess it. But the bill basically takes that away when decisions are automated because of quite complex administrative trickery a bit in the bill. So that takes away like a really important review right. I mean, people won't be able to easily get incorrect decisions overturned or looked at internally by the department.
Yeah, and I think there's, in what's being proposed, a capacity for the CEO of the NDIA, the National Disability Insurance Agency, is that right? Yeah. To have some, what they call override power, to override automated decisions that are clearly wrong and harmful. So yeah. I looked at that and I thought, I can't imagine the CEO of the NDIA wanting to go through thousands of cases where there's an override, where the override power is being requested. I mean, that's not what a CEO normally does, let alone of the NDIA. So I can't see how that works. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly our thoughts. Because, you know, there's no sort of middle ground for review, or everything will have to be funneled through the CEO, and there's no process for that to occur. So basically it'll be up to the CEO if they want to review or override particular decisions. There's nothing sort of requiring review that, you know, would cover the ground. So it'll almost certainly lead to all kinds of backlogs and people just not having incorrect decisions.
Well, some people will die. Some people will die without adequate support, I would anticipate.
Well, you know, we saw with RoboDebt that did happen with some people when they received debt notices that were incorrect. So the stakes can be quite high for these kinds of problems.
Yeah. And also, I guess I would say that, I mean, the word disability is a very broad, covers a very wide range of life conditions and experiences and barriers to participation, I guess, because of the world that we live in. But there are some people with disability who are less in a position to advocate for themselves. I mean, these are highly bureaucratic procedures, and I think we all struggle with them. We've had a program on this program about a year and a half ago talking about how administration is being put onto users and consumers and customers all the time, and people are spending hours and hours every week just to manage things that used to be done by organisations and governments. So there's also an issue of capacity to advocate for yourself. So I would say we shouldn't be setting up systems that are really unfair and unworkable and likely to do harm in the first place. We shouldn't be leaving it to self-advocacy or having the luck if you can't, not in a position to advocate for yourself because of maybe mental health issues, for example, that you have someone to advocate for you. So it looks to me like that CEO power can override power is probably likely to come in when there's media attention on something or squeaky wheels. So the silent wheels, the CEO of it, the NDIA, is not going to use its override power because someone lost access to supports that they need for their health and general well-being.
Yeah, I think that you've touched on a really important point is that automation in the NDIS is affecting a particularly vulnerable cohort, and you really do need to invest in human support to ensure that people are able to navigate the system appropriately. Otherwise, people will fall through the cracks. And that's, you can do that alongside automation, but you really can't cut out the human without having real problems with that cohort in particular.
Well, and as you made the really good distinction, we're using automation all the time. So automation could be used to add up figures to find out if someone's a citizen of Australia. There's lots of things that automation can do. We don't mind using automation for calculations like that, but to do with an assessment of a person in their situation and relationships and where they live and their circumstances, to have the responsibility for that allocated to automation and not to a human, it brings in the question of who's responsible as well. But yeah, I suppose that distinction between those two types of decisions is really important. And when you come to human judgment, as you say, we shouldn't be allocating those to human responsibility, and we shouldn't be setting up systems where these mistakes are very likely to happen in the first place, especially given what the stakes are, as you said. So I'll just remind listeners, you're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. And today we're joined by Sarah Sacker from the Human Technology Institute, who's talking about an NDIS bill before Parliament. And we've been talking about some alarming provisions for expanded automated decision-making, that is decisions being made by computers and not people, about the sorts of supports that people with disability can have access to. So evidently there's certain types of decision-making that require human discretion, as we've been saying, and judgment, which should not be made by computers in the first place, at least without human oversight. And especially without easy human review. But this is already happening in a range of areas overseen by government, and we can see how it's failing. So can you talk a bit about that, Sarah?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've seen some really concerning patterns in recent years that have echoes of robo-debt. An example that's sort of been in the news lately is in the aged care space. There was a tool that was introduced that's called the Integrated Assessment Tool, and it's used to assess access to funding for older Australians in the aged care context. And basically, a problem arose around this tool, which essentially human assessors making these assessments were not able to override the tool, and it immediately became apparent that the system was making some really dodgy decisions that couldn't be overrided by staff. Mm. So, like, including for people, like, for example, with dementia, not being assessed as high priority. And this has caused a bit of a scandal. As a direct result of this, there was a huge surge in complaints, and there was a huge surge in requests for review and for help. And it's now being, this particular system is now being investigated by the Commonwealth Ombudsman. And this is all happening at the same time as this NDIS bill is being introduced. Mm. So it's really kind of, there's a short-sightedness there, because it's kind of mind-boggling that this same problem is being played out in the aged care space and now possibly being introduced into the NDIS space as well.
Yeah, and of course it has very strong shades of robo-debt.
Yeah, and I think that we just haven't addressed some of the underlying problems that led to robo-debt. And until we get to those, addressing those sort of systemic issues, we will continue to see these kinds of patterns.
Yeah, and I understand also there's been unlawful cancellation of job seeker payments, social security payments, with the targeted compliance framework. And that's operated by Department of Employment and Workplace Relations. And also with Centrelink payments, there's been lots of cases of incorrect and unlawful cancellation of Centrelink payments. So there's a really big trend, isn't there, across government departments to use automated decision making. And obviously they're looking at what they would call efficiencies, because people cost money, right? It costs money to employed people. So I'm guessing it's to do with efficiencies. But I was thinking about this morning. Efficiency isn't supposed to mean cheaper. It's meant to be getting a good job done for the least amount of money possible. But if it's not doing good quality work, this automated decision making, it's not efficient, is it?
Yeah, and not only is it not efficient, it can be really costly. You know, we saw with the Robodebt, for example, it's been the highest ever settlements that government has had to pay out. So it's not necessarily even saving money in the long term. And the sort of sad thing is that it's really possible to use automation in ways that do result in efficiency and don't result in unfairness. And it's just about targeting where you use automation and ensuring that you have protections around it, and then the sort of machine and the human can work really well together, with the machine taking over the sort of those straightforward decision-making processes and the human applying human values and human judgment to more complex decisions. It's really possible to do that. It's just about ensuring that you automate well and not in ways that sort of lead to these problems, like the targeted compliance framework and the aged care example.
And don't leave it to the minister to decide where automation can be applied and where it can't be applied, because for me the whole automated decision making, it's an abrogation of human responsibility. Oh, it's not me, it's the machine. The machine decided it. A human being didn't decide it. And we can't do anything because the machine rules. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. But again, that can be addressed by just having really good human oversight and processes for review and all of those things. If those things are in place, that really does create responsibility for decision making.
Yeah.
It's a problem that we're not seeing those steps taken.
I guess my bias would be towards having the right guardrails at the top of the cliff so that people don't fall off. And because when people fall off, they're not necessarily in a position, even when there are usually very bureaucratic review processes, if people are having a lot of struggles in their lives, they're often not going to be able to use those processes anyway. It's too much. So I would suggest that there shouldn't be automated decision making over areas that require human judgment and human discretion in the first place. And I also had a bit of residual sympathy for these assessors who can see that horrible decisions are being made, can see face to face how it's going to damage the quality of people's lives and put their health and well-being at risk, and they can't override it. Like, it's a bit like the idea of being in a train driver, and you can't put the brakes on, but you can see face to face what's going to happen, really, which is a sort of bit of a dramatic metaphor, but I think it's quite real for people working at the front line when they're trying to support people in the best way they can.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're absolutely doing the best that they can, and it's a shame that they aren't able to use their expertise as people who have experience with how these decision-making processes work and working with vulnerable groups of people. I agree with you that as a matter of principle, we shouldn't be automating discretionary decisions. And at the very least, when automation is used in some way, there still needs to be that human oversight and review.
And we are supposed to still be in a human system of human beings. And I know the Human Technology Institute put forward some great ideas for what needs to be done in the submission to the Senate inquiry into the NDIS bill. And I think you've talked about a couple of them so far. And those recommendations in your submission obviously have broader application relating to automated decision making. So do you want to share some of your key recommendations with listeners?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably the most important recommendation is we're actually still waiting for one of the key Robodebt recommendations to be implemented. The Robodebt Royal Commission recommended that there be an overarching framework for automated decision making that would apply across government. And so that kind of legislative framework would set baseline protections that would apply across the board, including doing a lot of the things that I've brought up as problems with the NDIS bill. So things like, you know, making clear that discretion can't be automated, requiring reasons for decisions, having sort of technical safeguards around testing of systems, for example. And it's really important that we have a framework that applies across government, because we currently don't have a consistent approach, and we're seeing different agencies developing their own rules, and it gets messy and complicated, and there are real obvious gaps in protections. So that's the sort of really key recommendation that we'd like to see. And I think the most important outcome of a framework like this is that it would help to prevent these kinds of problematic situations happening, because they would require a lot of upstream consideration of the impacts of adopting automation, and it would require government to justify why they've made a decision to automate.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a no-brainer, having a framework around automated decision-making, really, and especially when you come to think of it, it's going to affect most Australians at some point in their lives. It's just so important, and it's under the radar, and this is something that's going to be ruling our lives way into the future. So it seems like a no-brainer that there should be some framework, and protecting human rights, some framework, rather than departments going off on their own, bringing in legislation that has machines overriding human decisions. So it really does seem like a no-brainer. So what can listeners do?
Well, I think, you know, as one thing that we can always do as citizens is to reach out to our MPs. The NDIS bill is still being considered by Parliament, so there's still a chance for it to be amended and for some of these problems to be addressed. So, you know, politicians, they're ultimately responsible to the voter, so it's always worth letting them know what you think. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing I would just say, if you are a person that's been affected by an automated decision that you think is unfair, there are options available. There's lots of legal services, free legal services that do really important work advocating for people and helping people. So just know that those options are out there.
Okay, I'll put a couple of links on our website. I might also put a link to your submission, which I assume is in the public domain. So
yeah.
Okay, I can do that. So thanks so much for coming on the program today, Sarah Sacker, and highlighting some really alarming moves by government to ramp up automated decision-making, in particular in relation to the NDIS bill, but also in relation to other areas of government oversight like aged care and Centrelink payments, as we've talked about. It's been highly informative, and I'm very grateful to you and the Human Technology Institute for publicising this really urgent issue that's set, as I say, to affect millions of Australians way into the future.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. So just for a couple of community announcements, there is an event, Cuba After Castro, on July the 10th at 6:30 p.m. in Carlton, the Kathleen Syme Library, 251 Faraday Street, Carlton. For those who are listening to some of the updates about what's happening with Cuba on Kill Your Lawn this morning. And also, of course, we're in NAIDOC Week, which is celebrated in the first week of July each year, when we celebrate and learn more about the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And you can go to their website, www.naidoc.org.au, to find out events in your local area or in your state. And if you're not connected to the internet, go to your local library and tell them you want to look up NAIDOC events. Thanks for supporting, to our listeners, for supporting Think Again by tuning in to the program, and to 3CR Community Radio, and to everyone who donated and also came to 3CR's great birthday party last week. If you'd like to send any comments about this program, please email borderlandsinfo@borderlandscooperative.net. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milkumana by King Stingray. Oh,
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.